Okay, going to be reading from James 1, chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. And it's titled Listening and Doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well done, Angela. Okay, I'm swell. So excited to start this series off. I remember what 40 Days of Prayer did for us. And I've just got a sense that this is going to do even more for each one of us. And so when you think about it, what it's going to do is propel us forward in our understanding of who God is, in our relationship with Him, and us carrying the presence of God about with us, supernaturally charged to do what God wants us to do. So we're going to get propelled ahead. But some are going to love it, but there is one who is going to hate it. Yeah. And I was thinking, have you ever been on in an airport and you're all queuing up to go on the plane and suddenly they call forward the fast track ones, the ones who paid a bit more so they get in first? You ever been there at that time? It's so annoying, isn't it? You know, it gives you the ump. Well, I want to be honest, you're going to give someone the ump today, guys, and he's called the devil. He's going to hate what's going to happen with us over the next few weeks and that. So, but we focus on Jesus, and God really will propel you forward. Out of all the Bible teachers in the world, Rick Warren's got to be right up there at the top at teaching and pastoring. And so looking forward to it and of what he's going to do with us. But the question is, when it comes to the Word of God, how do you understand the Word of God for yourself? How do you understand it? Is it like this, that you're standing on it? It's like, well, I understand some things in the Bible, and they're beautiful. Some things in the Bible are wonderful, and I'll do what it says in them places. But there are other places in the Bible where it says things I don't really like. And, I'm not going to be doing them. I can choose. I'm a person. I can choose what I do want to do and what I don't want to do. And I met a pastor once who basically did that. And I said to him, and he was telling me what he was going to preach on, and we had to go under that. And I said, how can you preach on that bit of scripture because you don't believe what it says? He went, oh, no. He said, we flip that bit out. I mean, what do you mean, filling it out? You know, like filling in a fish. Let me take that bit out. We don't like that bit. I said to him, like, you need to get another job, mate. That's, you know, I won't be that rude. But it was like, really? Honestly? But the problem is there's so many Christians around the world are doing that today. Yeah, they're reading God's word. We choose this bit. We'll do this bit. Well, I don't really mean to do that bit. So many of them around the world like that. We will never do that, guys. We will be as honest to the Bible as we can be, and the Spirit with that. Or are you under the Bible? Is this how you treat the Bible? That you're under God's word? That what God's word is, you say in your heart, no, I want to do that. There are beautiful things in there, there are difficult things in there, but whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do. Even if it hurts, even if it's painful, I'm going to do it because I know it's going to do me good. So I'm under the Bible. And we know that it's going to be painful because that, try to see the inside of your heart right now. It's not different to mine. There's stuff in there that God doesn't want there. There's stuff he wants to pull out, to yank out. It's painful as God does that. He won't tell us everything at once because we can't cope with it. But gradually as we walk, he reveals stuff and wants it out so that we become clean in our hearts. Is that how you understand the Bible? That we're under that authority and we say to God, no, God, you have your way with me. I used to go to a high street church. And the thing was with this high street church, they didn't teach baptism. And wasn't it beautiful at our summer camp to see 11 people baptized? Everyone loved that. Come on. Well, that's what the Alpha course is for, guys. Our next crop of baptisms will come out of that. We've got about, I don't know, 8 people coming already. I know there will be more, but please think about it. But the thing with me, well, what happened with me was I used to listen to R.T. Kendall, Friday Night Theology, where the guy was bang on with theology every week. And one week he spoke on the infallibility of the Bible. Now, what that means is the Bible is true in everything it teaches. It's not wrong in anything that it speaks about. That it's true, and it was a rock, and we're to build our life on it. And I listened to that. I never listened to any tape twice. I listened to that one 3 times, and it changed my life. No longer did I have to listen to what Mum and Dad said. Some of it was good, a lot of it wasn't. I didn't have to listen to what they taught you in schools. I didn't have to listen to anybody. There's my rock. That's my authority, and I'm going to build my life on that. And from there, I went out and got baptized and started a new path with the flowing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon the Word. And from then on, it's like whatever the Word says do, I will do it. Whatever the Word says don't do, I won't. And I'm not saying I don't sin sometimes. I am not perfect. But the Bible became the rock of my salvation and my life. And that's what I believe God wants for us over this week. Can I hear a hallelujah to that? Come on. You learned that word this morning. Come on. And so we're going to look at 6 ways on how do we build our life on the rock. Matthew 7:24 tells us about the story about 2 guys who went to build their homes. Okay, one went to build theirs on the rock, and one went to build theirs on the sand. And as they finished, they both were glorious, wonderful houses, I'm sure. And then suddenly the wind came, the rain came, the storms came. And for us, that's the storms of life, the physical ones where we get sick. Suddenly, spiritual ones, financial ones, emotional ones, hardships, betrayals, all these things go wrong in life. They hit us like a storm. And with these guys, the house that was built on the rocks stood. It was solid. It was sound. It was safe. But the house that was built on the sand couldn't withstand it. It crumbled. It gave in and couldn't stand up to the all that was happening in this life, the stresses and the storms of life. And so have a think about your life, guys. Where are you with all this? Where do you stand? Are you standing on the Bible, telling it what to say, or are you underneath it? I know we're all learning more all the time, but where are you? And how are you coping when the storms of life happen? How are you coping? Because it will show. When the storms of life, do you know what? I know each one of you, and I love you dearly, honestly. I've got to know you. Most of it is a couple of new faces, but the thing is this, I know that every single one of you got storms going on. It's what this life does. It beats us up. And somehow God changes that to prepare us for heaven. But how you go through the next storm that comes in your life shows whether you're built on the rock or the sand. You know that? What you like? Are you stressing, fretting, worrying? I'll do some of that. Not so much as I used to. Are you shaking easy? Because God wants to build us on the rock, that we're solid, we are sound, we are sound. Because as we look at the years to come, we don't know what is going to come, do we? The storms are going to come. What I can guarantee you, and I don't want it, but let's say wisdom says that there are going to be more storms in our life. What is going to happen? You know, wars, you know, China, and Russia and our North Korea batting against the rest of the world. India don't know what to do. climate change. We're all that said, no, we've loved it today, haven't we? 30 degrees. I love hot weather. 30 is about the limit, but it's nice. But what about those in Turkey? I've got a friend that lives in Turkey, near where all the earthquakes were. He said, he came back. He said, climate better come back over this country. It's 50 degrees out there. Plus, you can't, don't go on holiday there if you get too hot. Well, I think parts of Turkey, you live over there, don't you? There you go. So, but there's parts of it that are okay. But what is that going to bring? Climate change. Is there going to be another virus that happens? How are we going to cope with that one, guys, if that happens again? Or maybe the financial crisis, the storms will come. But when you build your life on the rock, you're on solid ground, sound ground. And that is what God wants for us, because in that we will flourish. We will become successful and you will become everything God created you to be. Are you up for that, church? Someone over here was. Who was that? Amen, Adam. Good to see you back, mate. And so Romans 10:17 said this. What was that? Maria. Where did you get Emma from? Never do that if your memory's not good for names, all right? I'm doing that all the time. You do that with your kids. Yes. Well, they're my children. And so it's okay to get it wrong. Now, if we was a stuck-up, stuffy church, you would be, oh, did you hear what Clive said? Now check your heart. What reaction did you have when I called? Right. What reaction did you have? Was it did you hear? Yeah. And you wanna slay me with the sword of the spirit? Or was it, yeah, he's a family man. He's got kids. He gets mixed up with names. Yeah. Check your heart. Find out whether, I'm serious. Are you religious or not? Because we have a laugh here. Amen, church. It's good fun. And it's good to see you back, Emma. Anyway, sorry, right. Anyway, so back to Romans 10:17 says this, that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So we've got to hear. Remember last week, donkeys, he's after donkeys. They've got ears where they can hear each other 60 miles away. That seems impossible, doesn't it? But it's true. And so God wants us to hear the word of God. It's the word of God that we're going to learn that builds up our faith. And that's what we want. And so we're going to look at four ways in which we can improve our hearing. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Do you know anyone that talks a lot apart from me? Yeah. Do you know anyone? Yeah, they get right on your nerves, don't they? I remember before Debbie came to us, we had a secretary. She did not stop talking. I mean, honestly, it was on and on and on. And after a year of working for us, she knew nothing about me. I knew everything about her. Yeah. And that can be what it's like with God, that we're continually speaking and that, and we're not giving time for God to speak to us. And so what we did, you know what happened? We brought to Christ. And I sent her off on a mission never to be seen again. But we listen. So big deal, we've got to listen. Secondly, we've got to be slow to anger. This is a funny one. And you think, why is that in there? Well, has anyone got an anger problem? Yeah. I used to be terrible. It's good. So you've got some unreligious, honest people over this side, okay? I remember years ago, on Saturday, so I used to be terrible with anger, not so much now. But we were doing the concrete base for our youth down at Basildon. And on Saturday, I got that close to swimming in it. And I let out an expletive. I'm sorry, I did wrong. I didn't think I would do that anymore, but it came out. And I got a bit angry. There was a reaction, right? Reaction to falling into a bath of concrete, because it wouldn't have been fun. And so, but the thing is, with ourselves, why does it say that there? Well, because I believe because of this. Because as the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, as you're doing stuff, and it reveals, the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something, may be like this, that your football team is becoming an idol. No, it's not. Yeah? Yeah, he got that little reaction. No, it's not. From our team, wouldn't it? It's awesome, wouldn't it? No, I won't. Why did everyone look at Gemma when I said that? They did. Gemma, everyone looked at you. I'm not digging you out. Holy Spirit does these things. What about you're on your phone too much? That's my one, okay? Do my business on it, book my holidays on it, booked retirement, everything. Is buy houses on it. Yeah. You're looking at your phone. No, it's not. No, I'm not. That's that was gossip. What you just did then was gossip. And the Holy Spirit revealed it. And there's this reaction. We get angry with it. And the thing is with that, or maybe you're lazy. You become lazy. We don't want to hear it. There's a reaction. We're fighting back what God is saying to us. That makes sense. We get angry. Yeah? Susan, you can't get righteous right. You're going to let that anger rise up. You're going to oppose what God is saying. It's not going to do you any good. So don't get angry. And then thirdly, it says, flee in your hearts. This is all in that passage. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Now, I don't know. Is anyone up here into doing filthiness? Yes. I was kind of thinking, what would that mean? Filthiness. I don't know. I know someone's laughing over here. You must be up to it. You know what it is. Tell me what it is afterwards. Repent on your knees. I'm believing it. You really end up. Anyway, there we go. It's even worse than that. There's wickedness. Is anyone up to wickedness out there? Yeah, and what about rampant wickedness? I mean, what is that? Do you know what I mean? I hope there's no one up to that stuff. But it says, get rid of it. Whatever that is, get rid of rampant wickedness. And so what is he saying there, James? A very down-to-earth guy. We've gone through that book. It's wonderful. But the word is compared to seed. And when we sow seeds, the sower has to make sure they prepare the ground first. Otherwise, it doesn't grow. No, nothing will happen. Yeah, we have to till the ground. We have to remove the weeds, the rocks that are there. And then once we've tilled in, spend all that sweat and time on it, then we fertilize it. We can put the nutrients, the goodness in it. And then the seed will grow because it's in good soil. So we've got to remove any bitterness, guys. If you're going to read the Bible, you're going to hear what he's saying. You've got to remove any bitterness that's there. Any resentment, any strife, any jealousy that's there, we'll fight against it. Well, God said, and the pornography, stuff like that, bad sin areas. Why is that? Because you cannot hear God if your mind is battling with other stuff. If your mind is in turmoil with other stuff, you're not going to be able to hear God. And so we have a good old cleaner. How do we do that? We repent. We say we are sorry. And all you're doing when you're saying sorry is, God, I agree with you. You got it right all the time. I've been angry. I've been fighting against what you wanted. But actually, I'm going to accept it. You got it right. And I'm sorry. So all we have to do, agree with God. Fourth, we humbly accept the word that is planted. See that word planted there? God is planting it in us, into you who are the good soil. And as you do, as you read, so as we read the word, as we read it, so God will Spirit, he wrote the Bible that became words that reveal what the Spirit's like. And so as we read it, then God will plant something in our hearts. God will do something. But if we're proud, if we think, I know better than the Bible, I know more and I disagree, then we're proud and we've lifted ourselves above the Bible again and we will not get what it's saying. It's as simple as that. Now we need to put ourselves in the place to receive the word. And so good soil is to have a heart when we come to the Bible that says, yes, God, I will do whatever you're asking me to do. Check your heart on that one. Is that your heart when you come to the Bible? Is that your heart as we go through these studies? Because that is what God blesses. And then, so secondly, how do we build our life? That's how to hear it. How do we build our life on it? Secondly, verse 22 says, be doers, not just hearers of God's word. Otherwise, you deceive yourself. You do not want to get to heaven to find out that you've deceived yourself all this time. And it says this, James says, he encourages us to look intently at God's word. And so the purpose of a mirror, it reminds us, it says there, it's like a mirror, God's word. We have to look at it. And the purpose of a mirror is we can see what needs tidying up, what needs doing. And I don't know whether, if you're like me, so many days there's so many things to do. And you look at it and you think, yeah, quick look, and out you go. And then by the time you come back, you look at the end of the day and you think, oh my word, did I really go out like that this morning? You do, don't you? You know, so the Bible says you look intently, focus on it. See what things doing. You know, when we look in the mirror, brush your hair, have a shave, do your eyelashes, yeah, pop that pimple, whatever. Because you go out, if you don't, you go out during the day and you can't see a thing, can you? Yeah, but everyone else can see everything that is wrong. You go, yeah, yeah. So the Bible says, no, look at the mirror intently. And as we carefully look at God's word and stew on it, look at it and do something about what it says, because it will reveal something to us. God always does. And when we do what he says, then life starts to work properly. We're building our life on the rock. Got to know this, thirdly, that 95% of what I'm saying today, you're going to forget within 72 hours. That's what the experts tell us. If we just read, listen to the word, listen to something, 95% of it will go very quickly, which is why we're going to study, we're going to watch videos. That way, much more of it is retained by us. And so then third, we've got to study the Bible. And what does it mean to study the Bible? For studied the Bible. Well, reading the Bible is reading the Bible. It doesn't mean studying, it just means you're reading it. No, studying is a little bit more than that. Studying is reading and writing what you learn. As I'm sure you're writing so much down on your bits of paper that I'm going through today. Yeah, that's what they're there for, guys. That is what pens are for. And that just here's a little thing, okay? Don't write everything you think, oh, wow, like that, just like that. What's God saying to you? What is God saying to you through this word today? That's how to do it. So you can listen, and you're not writing anything down. I think these will go online anyway. But you write down, what is the Lord speaking to you today? And so to study it is studying. You read it, you write down what you learn, but also we chat it through in our small groups. That's why we've got to chat it with someone else. And as you chat it, you see from your angle, there's people there that will see it from different angles. You get to see them grow. People that are angry become unangry. People that are jealous become unjealous. People that never give to anyone realize that they start giving. You see the difference in others. It's not just you. And it encourages you and you encourage others. So if you're not in a small group, don't leave here today without becoming part of one. Join a group today or start your own group. Start one wherever you are. You just need, three people. Two is not really a group, three plus. Start it where you are and go through these studies with someone else. And like with me, talking it through really helps. I always talk through what I'm going to be preaching with Debbie. Always, usually late at night. And it never fails to send her asleep every night. I'm serious, it does. If she can't go to sleep, she puts a tape recording of me preaching and she goes to sleep. And before, I knew it. Before, if you've got a heart that says that, well, I'm sorry. But no, but I think it's just calming because I'm a husband and she hears that voice. The thing is, I always share with Deb because she gives me the feminine side of things. Deb is very gifting, very different. So I get the input of someone with very different gifts. And we share like that. And I just encourage you to do that, to have a pen and a pad by your bed or wherever it is you do your reading and write down what God is saying. Study it. Go over it again and again. Fourth way is to meditate on all these audio notes that you've got. Think about what you're reading. Okay, read it over and over. Now, meditate is not sitting in some weird position going on. You empty your mind. You empty your mind that Satan's going to give you something to think about. Yeah. We don't do that. No, we read it over and over again because, again, the God was spirit and he chose to write the words. But as we go over it and over it again, you will break over. We call it breaking over the words that you receive, the life, the goodness, the power, the provision for you. You break it open and suddenly it comes to life. So go over it again and again like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go over that. What's that look like? So like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at that. You got over it and over it. And now suddenly that becomes part of you. So when a mountain comes your way, you think, I just can't do that. I've got to forgive this person who continually upsets me. You can do it because Christ will strengthen you to do that because you meditated and now you're living out that word. So we meditate on it. Meditate on it. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Hang in there. Stay in there. Let it get in you. It will do you good. Fifthly, there's this. We've got to do what it says. Verse 8 says, then you will make your ways prosperous. Now, notice that it says that you will make your way. It doesn't say that God's going to pop out of heaven and put right everything that's in your way. What he's telling us there, no, you, by reading the word and doing what it says, you're stumbling across something that God has laid in the foundations of the world. You know, like you put a kettle on, yeah, and somehow that water becomes steep. It's in the foundation of the world. God has revealed the secrets of his heart. Yeah. But if you start to do things as God says, you're going to become successful. Read that passage. It's in. You'll become flourishing. You'll become successful. And so as I look at my life, God has taught me to forgive people that have upset me, offended me, and attacked me and come against me. God has taught me to forgive through his word. And now I don't have to carry all that bullying stuff that went on, all that rotten stuff, someone turning against me, conspiring, trying to get others against me. I don't have to carry that. It's not mine to carry. Jesus carries that. It's always to help others in life. What is your life? What does your heart look like? Are you dissatisfied, unhappy, and think life is so boring? Let me suggest it might be because you're living for self. You're living for you. Everything's got to be what keeps me happy, what I want, I desire. You'll never be happy. When you start living for others, serving others, that's what Jesus taught me. He was a suffering servant. And the more I've stepped out, the more I've done for other people, the more he keeps giving me to do, making me happy, making me joyful. Life comes, and I've learned through doing the work. It actually works. Again, it's in the foundation of the world. He will never turn you down. He will work it. Business is the same. He will struggle at first to not try to manipulate or pay for work or do stuff like that. It goes on everywhere. Corruption. And I could talk for half an hour on what we've discovered over the years with the government and others, that they part big building firms by one. What I know is that we just do it God's way and he makes us successful. Can you hear an amen to that? It just gave me a minute to think and that. But it's true. Okay. We build our life on the rock and he will make us successful. And then sickly, we build our life on prophetic words as well. When God speaks to us something in our life, two flourishing churches, we've had to go through tremendous hard times to carry it like this. to keep going, but God has shown us the way. And so if you've got prophetic words over your life, go over them, go over them, go over them again until you start believing it, and then speak it out, and then start living it and walking in that. That's what we do. And then, you know, this week, and I'm going to go a couple of minutes over and on that. So this week I felt the Lord nudging me, speaking to me, the living word, the rhema word now. There's two people, Clyde, I want you to visit to ask to come to Alpha. And one of them I haven't seen for 15 years, but she was really helpful when we used to pick people up on the estate to come up. And I couldn't even remember her name. I thought it was Kemi, and it's Haley. It's nothing wrong with me. And all that. No, don't go there, all right? But anyway, so went round there. Hello, Kelly, how you doing? She said, my name's Haley. I thought, great. Off to a great start again. And I went, but we connected, you know. And so what happened, she's had a heart operation, all that. I asked her about that and said, look, God's put it on my heart to come and ask you. And if you'd like to come to Alpha, she'd love to. After all these years, love to. Been through all that. And now she's coming to Alpha. Another one where I won't go through the troubles that she's been through, but I just felt, and it was someone that we dearly love that comes to the church. And it was her daughter. It's got her own children now. Anyway, I went to her, phoned her up, got her to phone me, and then phoned her back and said, look, Emma, I said, I feel like the Lord wants you to come on Alpha, that he's got the answers that you are asking for. And she said, you know, I'd love to. And so she's going to be there on Thursday, not every week because of a night shift. I got in and that. And so who is it, guys? Write down now. Is God saying to you anybody that saying they would benefit from coming to Alpha? Because you will save them. You'll send their life on a trajectory to build it on the rock. And so lastly, it says, if you do these things, you will be like the man who builds his house on the rock. Safe and secure and sound when the batterings of life come. When things look like they're impossible, you'll be unshakable. Not stressed out, not worried, not anxious, but solid and sound. Knowing God is working his will and his purpose, and that's where God wants us to go in these 40 days. Can we stand to them?